the latest polling on gun control.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Vice President Joe Biden is meeting with law enforcement officers today to come up with ways to stop gun violence. The vice president has been asked to offer some recommendations to President Obama on the issue by late January. So what do the American people think should be done? For answers, let's get to Attitude Check, our weekly partnership with the polling firm Gallup.
And the latest poll numbers suggest
margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Frank Newport is editor-in-chief at Gallup, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so Frank, how has the polling changed on gun control since this tragedy in Connecticut?
Well, we're beginning to get a read on that. It takes a while, I think, to get a really long-term read on how attitudes are affected. We saw a six-point increase in support for stricter gun laws, as an example, back in 99 after Columbine. We're updating our long-term Gallup trends now, but a couple of quick polls, one by CBS News, showed a big jump. They had actually only had 39% of Americans, that's CBS News, supporting stricter gun laws in April, and when they just did a quick poll over the weekend, that had jumped 17 or 18 points all the way up to 57%. An ABC News poll showed just a few points uptick, and I imagine we at Gallup will find an increase in support for stricter gun laws, but again, the question will be whether that's a long-term change or a short-term change.
Do we know how things break down when it comes to gun ownership and how many people own guns and how they feel compared to people who don't own guns?
Oh, absolutely. If you have a gun in the home, you're much more likely to be opposed to strict gun laws than if you don't. But, of course, all that's intertwined with geography and intertwined with politics. Gun ownership is the highest in the South, lowest in the East. And it's very political as well, partly because of geography. Republicans significantly more likely to own a gun by about 15 points than Democrats. But if you do own a gun, you're very much opposed to changes in gun laws as opposed to Americans who don't own a gun.
Now, another issue that's come up as a result of this is school safety. And I wonder, do you have any polling on what people would like to be done on that front, if anything?
Yeah, we went into the field fairly quickly and said what could be done to make schools safer or at least prevent these types of mass shootings from happening at schools. And again, we just did this week, so it's after the Newtown tragedy. Number one is more police at the schools. Second would be mental health laws. Third would be the idea of decreasing depiction of guns in movies and video games and so forth. And fourth would be banning the sale of assault weapons. But that's actually just fourth on the list when we ask about preventing these school shootings. And then fifth on the list would be arming principals, arming school officials. About a third of Americans think that would be very effective, but that's fifth on the list of what could be done to prevent these kinds of mass shootings.
Well, and I know they've already done a lot of things. I went back to my high school recently, and they've got the doors. You can't see through the glass doors anymore. There's just a small window that has a shade that can come down so that in case of emergency, the teacher can just close that and nobody can see into the classroom.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of those kinds of actions being taken. I know there's a bigger police presence now at a lot of schools, but how long that can be kept up and how much can be invested in all these kind of things, we're going to have to wait and see.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at Gallup, thanks as always.
My pleasure to be with you.
Well, as we approach the fiscal cliff, much of the attention in Washington has been on income tax rates, but there's another tax that's likely to rise whether we go over the cliff or not. That would be the tax on capital gains. From the entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
When taxes on regular income go up for top earners, so will their taxes on income from owning stocks and other assets, from the current 15% on capital gains to 20%.
Capital gains are really, really skewed by income.
Syracuse University economist Len Berman says more than 90% of capital gains go to the top one-fifth of earners.
You have capital gains on assets, and the richest people in our country have most of the assets.
Conservatives say keep capital gains rates low to encourage investment and growth. Berman counters that when rates are low, wealthy taxpayers often use them to shelter income, not invest in productive businesses. But Bill Gentry at Williams College does worry about one group that could be investing, entrepreneurs.
If an entrepreneur starts a business, if they're successful, you're really having a higher tax rate on success. That could gum up the works.
Higher rates on capital gains and dividends could bring the government more than $240 billion over the next 10 years. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down more than 1% in Tokyo, but up 0.5% right now in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 98 points to close at 13,251.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Now to a fight that's going on over a card game. On the one side is Opus Dei, the exclusive Catholic organization. On the other, a small Danish game maker. The BBC's Malcolm Brabant has the story from Copenhagen.
Opus Dei, Existence After Religion, is a strategy-based game built around the world of philosophy. But the religious organization claims the company, Dema Games, has no right to use its name. Game inventor Mark Rees Andersen obtained copyright for the full name in 2009. He says Opus Dei, which means work of God in Latin, is a concept that has existed for centuries.
And it's preposterous to think that one organisation can have the sole rights to this concept. Because if you have the right to define the work of God, then you also have the right to define God via his work. And that is insanity.
The organisation is accusing Andersen of riding on the coattails of The Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's award-winning book, which portrays the religious order as a sinister and sadistic sect. Opus Dei is demanding more than $50,000 in damages and wants the website where the card game is sold to be shut down. A verdict is expected in March. In Copenhagen, this is the BBC's Malcolm Brabant for Marketplace.
And finally, to the National Coal Museum in Wales, which was having a bit of trouble paying its electricity bills. So much trouble, in fact, that it is turning away from its namesake, coal, and installing 200 solar panels on the roof. The museum's director says the move makes perfect sense because coal is an important part of Welsh heritage, but green energy will play a major role in its future. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.